And a lot of people will ask me, how do you get those smiles or how do you do this? And I just think that the very first thing you have to do is want to be there and offer yourself up and here I am. I love this. I want to be here. And then God can use you.
On In Good Faith, we believe that all faith traditions have something to teach us about how God is working in the world and in our lives. So join us as we listen and learn and discover how speaking with people of other faiths can strengthen our own faith and even our own practice. Do you remember your annual school picture-taking experience? Maybe you loved it, or maybe you were like me. But your teacher lined up your class and you walked down to where the photographers had set up in the gym, and then you had maybe 30 seconds in front of a total stranger to get a picture that was going to show up in the yearbook for the entire school to see and would follow you for the rest of your life. Have you ever thought about what that process might be like for kids with special needs? Our guest today is someone who had the skills to solve that problem and was inspired to create portraits for children and adults with Down syndrome. Cammie Nelson is a Utah-based photographer who's worked with humanitarian groups in Kenya and Armenia to document their activities and accomplishments. She also specializes in photography for special needs individuals.
My business started in 2000, and I shot full-time for a long time. And then as I had kids and we traveled for my husband's schooling, it just got slower. But in 2021, I felt like I wanted something for myself again. I had an experience where I felt like my education wasn't done. I couldn't get photography out of my mind. So I thought, okay, I'll do photography, but go at it from educating myself a little bit more on the business side. One of the classes that I ended up taking was Fine Art School Photography, which is kind of an odd one, but I was so drawn to it. And through that class, I kept thinking of my client and her two children with autism. And I thought, do they get school photos? And after calling her and she's saying, well, Tyler doesn't have school photos. Tess gets them and they're okay. I called a few of my other friends with children with Down syndrome and Rett syndrome, and they either said they didn't get them or they were awful. And my friend in Idaho with a daughter with Rett syndrome just said, I need you. And so we set up a time to do some complimentary sessions. And in my brain, I was thinking, okay, I'm preparing to like get back into photography. I'm doing these family shoots. But I went up and did a complimentary session. She brought about 8 kids together and we just did it at her house. And I just fell in love. And so I just thought, oh, I love this. And then I went back to Utah, did another session in April, and I just was hooked.
How was it different than any other group of maybe more typical kids of that age and that number that you might have? What was different? How did you get the shots you needed?
You know, I've always been able to get the shots that I wanted, even from children. I love children's photography. But as I started this, especially in Idaho, my first time, I was thinking, how am I going to get these kids to smile? I noticed two things. First of all, I didn't need them to smile because they're beautiful, whether it's a pensive look or my friend started with Rett syndrome. She was covering her face in some. And these poses, just by using the light correctly and just being patient with them and seeing who they really are, it was beautiful. And so I loved even the photos where they weren't smiling. And then I think if you try and get someone to smile too much, then it's just fake. So if you just love them and talk to them and play music, that's a huge thing.
Well, two related questions. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this. How did the parents feel about the photos when they got them?
So many parents have called and said, I was just crying. I've never had photos like this. I've never seen their personality come out like this in photos. And I really feel like it is a calling. So I've loved it.
And what I really want to ask is, how have the kids felt?
Well, I think like any kid, they love to see pictures of themselves. And so I'll take pictures and they always want to see them on the camera. But one lady in particular that I really connected with, she was my age. Her name's Melinda. And she came in and there was just this instant connection. And she has Down syndrome and she choreographs dances. And so she danced and she talked to me and she was really soft-spoken. And her sister told me later that when she saw these pictures, she said, I'm beautiful. And it just made my heart so happy.
Yeah, that's very sweet.
To feel like, okay, I've helped someone see their beauty.
As we were setting up, we talked a little bit because you'd really been thinking about one of the questions we sent you that we wanted to get into, which is how God might have led you. And you said, this last time of your life, these recent years, you really have felt that. I wonder if you'd tell me that story.
Kind of this reinvention of myself was in 2021, and beginning from a blessing that I received from Heavenly Father through my husband, it just started me on this path. And ever since then, I feel like every time I've come to a milestone, I've been able to pray and receive guidance, or even sometimes receive guidance when I didn't want to hear it or when I wasn't seeking for it. But one of the main things is that this was really surprising, starting to photograph children with individuals, not just children, with disabilities. And I prayed about it when I first realized my passion and that it was going to change my business. Part of the reason that I started to shoot again was because we were remodeling our kitchen and our landscape. And I was like, well, I need something for myself. I'm wanting something else as well. And this can help with our house situation.
Right, right.
You know, and so when I kept doing the complimentary sessions, because that's what I felt called to do, I prayed about it. And every time I would pray about it, the answer came the exact same words and the exact same every time. It just said, stick with special needs and everything else will fall into place.
You mentioned that you got a text and you had the feeling, whatever is in this text, you should say yes to. I'm trying to think how I would feel having something like that in my head that I didn't know what it was yet.
Well, 2024 was really busy for me and I didn't know what I was getting into, but someone asked me to go to Kenya at the end of 2023 and I just thought, I can't do this. And it wasn't something I was getting paid to do.
Right.
It was humanitarian. And anyway, I said, we just are spending our money on landscaping and finishing our kitchen, which is still at studs. And I just thought, I can't do this. I'd like heard her voice text and I just kind of laughed and I was kind of sad. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. And it wouldn't leave my mind. And so finally I prayed about it and I had a really strong feeling of, I have put this in your path. And so we made it work out. And I went and went with a company called Kenya Keys. They support a school with children with disabilities there. And it was truly amazing. I loved the people. I loved everything about it. So I really connected with them. Also connected with another individual who graduated through Kenya Keys program, who started a nonprofit and just have stayed connected and I'm still working with them. I came back. I wasn't going to do this long trip in the summer, but we did a 5-week trip. Again, I felt really strongly, this is going to be great for your kids and the memories. You won't be able to replicate this. And this is kind of the last time you'll have all of your kids together on a 5-week trip cross country. And so I was able to reach out to Gigi's Playhouse, which is a National Down Syndrome Achievement Center. And I shot 7 playhouses across the country and set up some more shoots. And it funded our trip. It was amazing. And we had all these amazing memories. And then I came back and the other part of my business is commercial and headshot work with women entrepreneurs. And I went to Georgia right after we got back, like 3 days. And then after Georgia, 2 days later, I was taking a nap and I never nap. And I woke up and I was really groggy and I saw this text on my phone and I knew who it was from. It was from the founder of Rod's Heroes. And immediately into my head came, say yes to anything that's on that text. And I closed my phone and didn't look at it for the next 2 to 4 hours. I can't remember, but I closed my phone and put it down and I was exhausted. I was like, I've been gone, I feel like, most of this year. And how is the Lord asking me this? Which is amazing, right? I've loved every minute of it, but it was taking a lot.
And what did it ask?
Oh, so I guess it said, will you come to Armenia with us and photograph these orphans that have disabilities? So Rod's Heroes really tries to show the value of children with Down syndrome. And so in Armenia, right now, they are advocating for like 36 orphans with Down syndrome. And I went with them and it really was amazing. It was really hard to go. And I think I did need that like really strong impression. But we made it work. And I just said, I have to be here. I don't know why, but I do. And I found out why while I was there.
I'm guessing that having a photo that really captures the personality or the spirit of a child, can that help them connect with someone who might be considering adopting? Is that why they want the photographs?
Yes, they do. Now, in Armenia, it's a little bit different because the photographs are actually just seen by the government, and then they kind of match these families. So the families in this circumstance aren't. But yes, I really believe that it can help. A lot of the photos the orphanages have are just from someone's phone that aren't very good quality, and they're on the floor playing with something in not very good lighting. And sometimes it's just harder to connect like that and say, this is someone that I want in my life.
Now, you mentioned you found your reason why you'd gone. Do you mind talking about that?
One of the main things was at the orphanage, we didn't actually know how much we were going to be able to photograph. And we couldn't put anything on social media or show anyone else these photos. And so we were taking pictures, and I just thought, I've got to take portraits of these orphans. And the thought, again, just came to me really clearly. And we had already kind of been told no. And so I went to Brady, who's the founder of Rods, and he was there, and I said, I really feel like I need to set up a little studio and take portraits of these orphans. And he said, well, then you need to talk to the orphanage, the lady, the director, who was amazing. So I found a translator. I went and talked to her. We went back and forth, and she was like, show me how you would filter their faces, because some of the photos that we show, they're just blurred faces. And I said, I don't even have any of that to show you, because that's not what we're doing. This is a gift for you. These children deserve to have a beautiful portrait. And I showed her some of my work, and a lot of my work is black and white, which I love. I connect with, really.
I noticed that on your website.
Yeah. And finally, she said, okay, come follow me. And so I went into the orphanage, and there was a wall. And she said, we have been trying to collect black and white photos of our orphans and display them on this wall and have them, you know, see themselves as beautiful. And so I said, okay, let's do this. And they happen to have a black background. And so I just taped it up on the wall and took pictures of these orphans and had them ready the next day when we met with this director again. And she was in tears. She loved it. She was so excited. But the big thing is that Brady was able to take these photos to this government meeting. And they said, if you can take photos like this of all of our children, we will let you into any orphanage without having to be connected to an adoption agency. And that was a really huge thing for them. And so now they can go back and we can take pictures of all the orphans.
So those photographs really opened the door to that.
Yeah. And there were a couple other things and people that we met. Father Gregor was amazing. And he's trying to do a gallery of these. They call children with Down syndrome. Internationally, the word for them is sunny children.
And interesting.
I love that name.
That's great.
But he talked to me. I went up and I talked to him about my work after we met with him. And he said, I really have always had a desire to do a gallery of my sunny children's eyes. And I was like, oh, I love that. In fact, I'm doing that right now in Utah. And I
because that's one of the distinctive features.
Yes. So I had collaborated with the Utah Down Syndrome Foundation, and we were taking pictures, and so I was able to show him, and he said, please come back and photograph my children. I almost just feel like I'm this tool, because photography can just open up people's hearts and minds and wallets and anything, like no other thing, right? It can tell a story, and it can really show people for who they are.
This is In Good Faith. We're speaking with photographer Cami Nelson. In Good Faith speaks to people of all faiths who seek to solve the issues facing their community, like Carla Fortman of the Lexington Interfaith Garden in episode 317, or Nadja Bazzi fighting maternal poverty in Detroit in episode 261. These are just a few of the inspiring people who take their love of God into the public sphere in order to solve community problems and strengthen our nation. Check out the In Good Faith archive and share an episode that means something to you with a friend. Let me tell you about Kaboom, a thrilling audio adventure podcast made for the whole family to enjoy together. Whether it's a teleportation experiment gone wrong or an ancient Viking curse wreaking havoc on the high school football team, Kaboom has an adventure made just for you. With a new adventure every episode, you'll meet magical creatures, explore outer worlds, and maybe learn some valuable life lessons along the way.
Subscribe to Kaboom on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the whole time we've been talking, I've been thinking about light. And so we often think of light and knowledge, but here you're actually using the light to accomplish something that to me seems like a really elevated spiritual purpose.
So I've been crying this whole time, right? On and off. My husband laughs at me, but I cry when I'm talking about things that are hard, but also things that I love. And whenever I talk about light, I can be talking to him about light or something that made something beautiful, and I cry, and he just laughs at me. But I love light. I did a blog post when my son was 2, and he was eating oatmeal, and this backlighting turned this oatmeal mess into like a piece of heaven. And I just love how light can transform and really showcase our spirit.
I'd like to go back. I think you had to be prepared to receive the kind of answers that you've received of late. Do you remember first discerning some sort of presence of God in your life, or when you knew that was real, and then learning to connect? What was that journey like?
I mean, my first real experience that I remember was at a church camp, and I stood up and bore testimony and cried, of course, and some cute boy gave me his bandana afterwards because he thought it was a great testimony. But I mean, that was my first real feeling of God in my life. And yeah, throughout my life, I've prayed and I've had experiences, but I did not go to church for about 5 years. And I feel like after that, after kind of making that choice at a really pivotal time in my life, I just decided, you know what? I don't want to raise my children without God in my life. And so ever since then, I truly feel like I've been blessed with the ability to hear God and to hear his will for me. And my roommate would make fun of me and be like, not in a bad way. But she would laugh and say, well, I know if you're feeling something, it's right. But I'm just grateful to God. That is a spiritual gift of mine. And there are lots of gifts that I don't have. But to be able to know and hear the Spirit. I taught Sunday school for years, and every year I would pray and say, what is the theme for this year that I can incorporate as well? And it was always, teach these kids how to feel the Spirit and how the Spirit talks to them individually. Hmm.
That seems really important. Late elementary school, junior high, and high school, but especially junior high, there's so much comparison going on.
Yes.
Because so-and-so started growing taller and I didn't, or I did and now I stick out. Or I mean, it's good or it's bad, just depending on what's going on. And that ability to help someone recognize how God is reaching out or speaking to them individually, I think is so important because it might not always be the same. How do you help people find that?
So first of all, I share with them how I feel God's word in my life. And then I just say, use a journal and write a question and wait for a response. Wait for anything. Wait for a burning or a warmth or a thought that just pops into your head or your toes tingling or something that is going to be God's way of talking to you because he knows how you listen best. And he knows how you're going to receive his word the best. And then practice it. Keep asking questions and practice listening for that answer. Because one way that I really receive revelation, it feels funky a little bit, but I know now that's one way that God speaks to me, and so I can trust it.
Just by acting on faith and what you felt.
Yeah, and just by knowing him now a little bit more as a friend. It's like, this is how my friend talks to me. If I had been thinking about a problem a lot and praying about it, once I really prayed to know the answer, I would kneel down and the answer would pop immediately into my head. And I just thought, no, I have to go through another half an hour of praying.
And it should be harder than
whatever.
This.
And not that getting answers is always easy, right? But that happened to me enough. And I figured out that was a comfortable way for me and that I could all of a sudden have faith and say, oh, this is how God talks to me. I don't have to think I'm crazy. It's not anything I've ever heard before, but I know that if I've really been doing my part and God wants me to know this answer and I kneel down, he's going to just tell me.
So this is really interesting to me because it's not just I knelt down, asked, and it was there. You've been doing some work and some preparation, thinking through possibilities, I'm guessing. That preparation seems like that might be an important part.
Yeah, I think just like anything in life, right? You got to do your part. You got to do the work. And then God will tell you or not tell you. But I think even if he doesn't tell you, if you're doing your part and doing the work and feel good about a certain direction, then go there till he tells you not to.
I've heard people say that as they felt the love of God, they started to see other people and feel that for other people differently or more in different ways than they had before. So you have this opportunity that lots of us don't, because for us, it would just be called staring. But you have people sat down right in front of you, and your job is to look at them. And I'm wondering how much of you is in, well, I need more modeling on this side of the face, or how much of it do you kind of sense who they are somehow?
Well, I've done this long enough that I know how the light's going to be the best. And so now I can really just focus on these people. And yeah, I have to tweak the light or I have to move them if I want a different feel. But once you've prepared and have set the foundation, then I feel like it gives you some space to just focus on what is important. And one other really strong... Actually, it was through my husband again. He gave me a blessing. And in that blessing from my Heavenly Father, it said, today is the first day of your formal calling. And it was the first day that I was doing a complimentary photo shoot, but I had decided that this is what I was going to do. And he just said, I bless you with a gift to be able to see these people for who they are and see them through the lens that Heavenly Father would see them through. And so I've just been able to do that and love them. And that's what I think how Heavenly Father would see them is love them. And a lot of people will ask me, how do you get those smiles or how do you do this? And I just think that the very first thing you have to do is want to be there and offer yourself up and here I am. I love this. I want to be here. And then God can use you.
It seems like your subjects would have to sense that you're happy to be there, yeah. That this is something you love doing.
I think they do. And sometimes parents will say, oh, my child never hugs anyone. Thank you for being here. And he's hugging you. And I mean, I am definitely not perfect and not everything that I do in the photography world is perfect. But I see these bits and pieces of things that I feel like are not all me, but ways that God's helping me show these individuals and be with them and present them to the world.
Well, I think it's a beautiful mission. And I love that it's turned out well for you, although I do hope your kitchen gets some sheetrock in it at some point.
That's the way.
But maybe that's not a bad trade-off for having a sense of mission and accomplishing so much good for different people. Is there something else I should ask or that we haven't gotten to that you'd love to share?
Well, when I very first picked up the camera, I was shooting landscapes and I was photographing with my dad. And I remember walking down a hill by Sundance up in the mountains and thinking to myself, the thing I want to do with photography is travel the world, work for National Geographic, and bring to light an underprivileged group of people. And then over the last year, when I went to Kenya and then got asked to go to Armenia, and even other people have called and asked me to work with their nonprofits, I just have seen that come to light. And I think one other thing that was really exciting about that is that after I went to Kenya and before Armenia, I handed my daughter, I was organizing, and I came across this paper and it just said, to my dearest children. And it was before I was married, before anything, but I wrote a letter to my children talking about how much I wanted them. And anyway, I saw it and I just handed it to my 13-year-old sitting on the bed with me going through these papers.
Did you remember what was in it?
No, and I didn't remember what was in it. I read the first like two lines and I was like, oh, this is for you. And so she read it and she, after a couple of minutes of reading, she said, Mom, this is what you're doing, what you wanted. And I looked at the paper and it said, I'm so excited to have you guys. I want to travel the world. I want to bring to light and share the stories, the joys and the sorrows of people who are maybe not seen. But even more than that, I want you. So that was kind of the gist of the letter. But I was so grateful that she could see that God gave me my cake and eat it too, right? I could have my cake and eat it too. But it just gave me this really wonderful feeling of he knows us, he knows our desires, and he's going to put us to work. And hopefully it's something that we love to do. And I'm lucky enough to have that in my life.
So any inklings about what's ahead?
Well, the last couple of years, I have felt strongly about getting into schools and doing some school photography, which kind of is full circle from this first class that I took. And it's been a little bit of an interesting journey. It's not something that I saw coming. It's not something that I really wanted, to be honest, but I have seen some great doors open through that and actually have started a new studio called Seeing Me Studios that really specializes in portraits, school photos for individuals with disabilities that can maybe spread throughout the country. And I think that is what this world needs, is just more people that are educated and that love working with this community that then have an ability and a way to share that.
Many thanks to Cami Nelson for speaking with me. This episode was produced by Heather Bigley. Our production team includes Heidi Clough, Nick Levitt, and Ocean Marshall. Our post-production sound designer is Gabriel Haro. In Good Faith is committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. You can check out more of our episodes and extended interviews on our YouTube channel and connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at In Good Faith Podcast. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry. I hope you join me again soon right here in Good Faith.